Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 29 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the Pocahontas to my John Smith, Brian. Brian, how are we doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. I mean, just great. It's been almost 2 weeks since we last recorded, I miss it.
It's been a long time.
I miss looking at your face for an hour. I miss the back and forth. I miss the times when you give me a stern look because I'm going too far away from what our base is. And it's just nice. It's nice to be back into the groove.
I miss your musk. I miss your scent. And we when all this is said and done, we should get an apartment together.
We should get an apartment together.
So,
except I don't. There's no way I'm going to be able to handle all the stray animals.
Yeah, that you'll be bringing in. Understandable. So, happy belated Thanksgiving to you. How was your Thanksgiving this year?
Splendid. Went up to visit my sister. Got to spend time with all of her kids. It was just so brutally cold.
Yes, Thursday was, even here in Pennsylvania, was frigid.
I was in what they call 15 degree weather. I don't know what it was.
15 now. Degrees?
Oh yeah, no, it was 15.
Well, that's
degrees.
That's why they call it that.
It was brutally cold to the point where I avoided going outside. The heat was pumping, and you were just still cold. Like there was nothing that could be done for it, and it made me sit there and genuinely feel glad that I did not live during a time like the 1600s. When they didn't have anything for heat other than just like setting the house on fire.
Chopping wood and having a fireplace and all that kind of nonsense.
Exactly. How was yours?
It wasn't bad. The wife was a little under the weather, so did not get to join her family on Thanksgiving because she wasn't feeling well. But then my family came down on Friday and we had a big feast on Saturday.
Was she feeling better for your family?
Somewhat, not 100%, but she was.
But enough that she was able to enjoy the festivities.
She was able to enjoy the festivities and sit and have a bountiful meal.
I imagine you go all out for Thanksgiving.
I went a little crazy this time.
Walk me through the menu.
All right. So, well, night one, everybody gets here on Friday, so we do a little pork tenderloin that I did in the sous vide machine, risotto and some garlic butter roasted carrots on the side. That's right, I'm not messing around.
Okay.
And then for the meal, then Saturday, of course, you got to have your appetizers during the day. So some homemade spinach puffs, some Franks in a blanket, some dill dip, some shrimp, cheese crackers, meats, that kind of thing. And then dinner. And I believe I told you I was going to brine the turkey, right?
You have to brine.
So I brined that son of a bitch. Roasted it up. We had some mac and cheese on the side. I made a cornbread bacon stuffing. We had some butter balsamic roasted asparagus. And then some roasted butternut squash as well.
Damn, you are bougie.
And then Mom, of course, always brings it home with the apple pie and the Hubbard squash pie.
What is a Hubbard squash?
I know you're
going to
ask myself. You're going to say, Ron, what is a Hubbard squash? Well, it's a member of the squash family, obviously. It tastes very similar to pumpkin, but better than pumpkin. If you have a Hubbard squash pie, you will never go back to pumpkin pie.
I'm going to look that up.
All right.
That's something that interests me because I don't think that it's hard to get something that's better than a pumpkin.
Well, you would think so, but it's this big blue bumpy thing. Which I know normally you get that looked at and you get it lanced. Well, this is actually good to cook up and put in a pie. I just had some leftover Hubbard squash earlier. It was fantastic.
Can you send me do you still have any of it left or no?
I believe I may have one piece left.
If you could send me a picture of it, I'd like to see what it looks like.
All right.
If I may take this moment to apologize to you.
Oh, please do it, but not just to me, but apologize to the listeners. Domestically and internationally, we picked up Switzerland this past week. So, thank
still
you.
Love you, Spain.
Thank
still
you,
love
Swiss.
Spain.
But apologize to everybody, including myself.
Okay, this week you had assigned me the task of our drink of the week poll that has been running on our Facebook page regularly. I don't want to say consistently, because it's more than consistently. It's regularly.
Would you say regularly, or would you say intermittently?
No, it has become intermittently.
Okay.
That is my mea culpa. This is my fault.
Okay.
You had said to me last week, we're recording Sunday night, so don't forget to do the drink of the week poll. We had discussed it. We had thrown some options of what drink we were going to put up on that poll, and I dropped the ball and did not put up the poll.
You did.
There have been weeks where I put the poll up about an hour and a half before the show. I'll be honest with you. I'm not proud. I'm just saying that, you know, when I mess up, I'm the second person to point that out. Usually it's the other person, and then I'm like, yeah, you're right. I did that wrong. But I'm going to say that we have no drink of the week for this week as elected by our listeners, which means it's the second straight show where we have a dealer's choice.
How many drinks do we have this week?
0.0.
That's right. Thanks to you.
0.0.
And you know how many listeners we're going to lose as a result of that?
0.0.
It's because our listeners love our show.
That's
so,
right.
I'm going to make a promise that there will be a poll up on our Facebook page, the Ron and Brian podcast, within the next 48 hours with two drinks for us for our listeners to vote on before next week's show.
All right.
Because we need to bring back Drink of the Week. It was a great segment, and I feel this one falls on me.
And I'm feeling... maybe it's the spirit of the season, but I'm feeling so kind and benevolent that I'm not even going to ask for a punishment drink like we have done in the past.
I think the punishment, if you recall, I mean, let's be honest, you could have started the poll yourself. Okay, so this isn't just on me. The punishment drink on me was because we had agreed that to nominate two different drinks. The listeners voted. There was a clear winner. And I just disregarded it and did not make a drink.
I understand. So what...
I deserve to be punished.
You do. But what are you drinking this week?
I poured myself a Macallan 12.
Ooh.
And a nice little scotch. What I call a home pour, which is pretty much a... I guess you could call it in bartender lingo, which is, a triple. And then some.
Little ice in there?
One ice cube.
Any water you drink, you neat other than the ice cube.
I let the water dilute from the ice cube.
All right. Well, myself, I have, and this was one that I had thrown out there, which you didn't want to make.
You had to throw the dig in. You couldn't just say.
I made the Cousin Eddie, which is actually thanks to our friends at Lucky's Last Chance in Manayunk here in Philadelphia. They put this little cocktail together. It is a shot of grapefruit vodka, some cranberry mint simple syrup, and some ginger beer. So a little take on a Moscow Mule, but very, very wintry, very refreshing.
I can just hear, I hear you drinking it.
And I went ahead and
describe it. Describe the flavor.
I mean, well, you get the ginger, obviously, from the ginger beer. You get a lot of the mint there, and then a little bit of that fruity aftertaste.
Got it. Much like that time when we were in college, and you drove me to that bar on the other side of Central Avenue.
Yes, very much like that.
Yes,
you are correct.
All right. So, Drink of the Week returns next week. If you're listening, by the time you hear this, we'll probably already have two drinks selected for it. We're definitely going with winter drinks,
but definitely shoot out, you know, because we'll need future polls. The more the further out we can get a range, the better. So Twitter us, Instagram us, Facebook us, give us some suggestions.
We are like the Clinton administration, where the more polls, the better. Speaking of which, our next episode, do we want to talk about it now?
I mean, we're just about to get into This Week in Racism, so I suppose it's appropriate that our next episode is going to be, because since it was very popular on election night, we are doing another Facebook Live episode this Thursday night at 8 p.m., Brian, what's our topic this time?
This year in racism.
We're getting ready for racism madness. That's right. It'll be the Bracketology special Thursday at 8 p.m.
Now, as somebody, I'm, you know, as somebody who's grown up in the great United States of America, I think we both can sit there and agree how magical the evening is in early March every year when the NCAA tournament committee comes out and announces the 64 teams that will be participating in college basketball's March Madness. Well, this year, Ron and I, and obviously the racism committee, are going to, Ron and I will be discussing the brackets for the this year in racism that the racism committee have, you know, they are working diligently this week on the nominees, the winners, the first, some of these I think are going to get first round buys. Is that not correct?
We're still getting official words in from the committee. They're finalizing the bracket. I would say anything's in play.
Okay, so I don't even know what's going to happen on Thursday. So just make sure you tune in, give it a watch, give it a listen. It's going to be exciting.
I think it's fair to say that neither of us know what's going on, but it's going to be entertaining.
Absolutely.
And let's see if we've got one more possible contender for Racism Madness in This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
Racism.
So once again, this past week, our poll ended in a tie between defending champ, the Dunkin' Donuts racist, and Lewis Klemp. As always, Brian, how do we settle tiebreakers here on the Ron and Brian podcast?
The only way that one can settle a tie in racist of the week is that you call your third favorite uncle, Uncle Freddy.
That's right. You go all the way up to Middletown. And you get Uncle Freddy on the line, and I spoke it out, and this one again, I think it was tough for our listeners to vote, and this was a tough one. But when Uncle Freddy really came down to it, he picked the Dunkin' racist. So now the Dunkin' racist is now a two-time winner, and we'll be moving on next week. Could he be moving on to the bracket? Only the committee will tell. But much like in March Madness, you know, the committee always seems to give maybe a little bit of bias is the word towards teams that perform well late in the year. So could a two-win racist like the Dunkin' racist this time of year, bless you, get looked upon higher than like an Allison Attell who had two wins earlier in the season? Tough to say. Well, it'll all depend on what the committee says, and you'll have to listen live on Thursday to find out.
I think this is because keep in mind, this is me just speculating, and it's not really my place. But if I can't speculate on my own podcast, Racist of the Year Bracketology, then who the heck can?
That's right.
I guess you can, but that's not the point. What I'm trying to guess is the fact that, and this is where I think the surprises are really going to come in, are, you know, we've only done 29 episodes.
Right.
And we did have consistent winners, so this isn't just going to be winners of Racist of the Week. We're also going to have people that were nominated and lost. So I think the thing that's going to really tell what is in the minds and hearts of the committee members are going to be the people that were nominated for Racist of the Week, lost, yet are somehow going to be entered into the year-end Racist of the Week brackets. That's going to be a telltale sign of where the wind is blowing in terms of racism in America in 2018.
The only thing that's guaranteed is our top two seeds. We've got our two number one seeds already with Jimmy Taylor and Nathan Larson. Everything else, it's a crapshoot. You got to wait and see what the committee picks. But
you realize you're going to need about 85 different tabs open on your web browser to play all those videos.
Oh, it's insane. Maybe we'll put something up on the webpage also, a little compilation piece to go along
with the bracketology. You're saying a bracket with links?
I'm just saying
to the different videos.
Why not?
I think we can do that. Let me talk to Brent Musburger.
Okay.
See what his availability is for Thursday night to see whether he's able to update our website, because we don't need him to do any of the announcing. It's really his website skills that we need.
I didn't realize Brent Musburger was so adept at the coding.
Absolutely.
All right.
You know, it's a side gig when CBS doesn't need him for Auburn, Alabama football games.
I gotcha. So back to this week in racism, kind of jumping back to our loser this past week, Lewis Klemp. In the past week, he has since resigned his position as a county commissioner in Leavenworth County, Kansas. But he did explain himself somewhat in that when he made his master race comment, he was commenting on the fact that the woman that was speaking to him had a gap in her teeth, and he also had a gap in his teeth, which meant that they were both part of the master race of gap-toothed people. You want to know how many people actually believed that excuse?
Well, I can tell you two people here did not.
No, I certainly did not. No. But let's move on to our candidates for this week. Going out to an Air India flight from Mumbai to London, Simone O'Brien claimed to be an international lawyer who had a racist meltdown after the flight crew refused to serve her more wine. At Duke University, there was a mural created to honor the victims of last month's Pittsburgh synagogue shooting, which was vandalized with a Nazi symbol. In Minnesota, you have a man who pulled a gun on four black Muslim girls in a McDonald's. The manager of the McDonald's then tried to kick the girls out, even though the man was still outside. We had a white woman who called the police on a black woman who accidentally exited a grocery store parking lot the wrong way. When the black woman confronted her, she said, quote, "cut the N-word card out," and then told the 911 operator that she was being attacked by two women. Out in Kirkland, Washington, Byron Ragland was at a Frenchie's frozen yogurt shop doing his job as a court-appointed special advocate and visitation supervisor, where he was supervising a visit between a mother and her 12-year-old son. The employees at Menchie's became uncomfortable with him being there and contacted the owner, Ramon Cruz, who then called 911 to have the police come tell Ragland to, quote, "move along." The 911 call is actually a masterclass in implied bias and assumptions. Brian, do you have a minute or two to listen to that 911 call?
I think I can make myself available.
All right, sit back with your drink and listen.
911 emergency.
Oh, I'm trying to get a hold of the Kirkland police.
We screen all of our calls for emergencies. What are you reporting?
Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't catch what you said.
What are you reporting?
Oh, I own the Menchie's over at Kirkland in Washington, and my staff just called me, and I'm looking at the camera. There's this one guy who's been sitting at the corner, hasn't bought anything, has been sitting there for over 30 minutes. They're kind of scared because he looks suspicious. He just keeps looking at the phone and looking at them.
In Kirkland, where it's at.
11308 North East 124th Street.
Okay, do you know if he has any weapons?
No, all my staff are women, and they're kind of just scared. There was multiple incidents in our store before. Homeless, you know, shooting drugs in the restroom, and also we got robbed before. So they're just very cautious.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious if we could have somebody, police kind of
officers there and tell him to move along. Do you know what he looks like? What race he is?
He's African American, from what I can see from the camera. He's got a bonnet on and a gray or black jacket, jeans, and then looks like sneakers, black sneakers.
You said he was wearing like a hat, like a knit hat?
Yeah.
What color?
Like a bonnet. It looks black from the camera.
Okay, and did when you spoke to your employees, did they say if he seemed like he was under the influence of anything at all, like any drugs?
They didn't say anything. So one employee was supposed to leave, but the other employee said, you know, just stay for a while.
Okay, yeah, and they're afraid to go speak to him and tell him to leave.
They didn't really approach him.
Okay, yeah. If they don't feel safe doing that, that's okay.
And
is he by himself, or is there anyone there with him?
He's by himself.
Okay.
Like I said, all he does is he kind of looks at his phone and then looks at their phone.
Okay, yeah. Do you want him trespassed, or do you just want him to go there and tell him to move along?
Tell him to move along.
And what's your name?
Ramon. I own the store. Ramon. Last name Cruz. Cruz.
I'm sorry. Can you say your last name again?
Cruz. Cruz.
Okay. Okay. We've notified the officers for you. If anything changes at all, if he starts being aggressive or anything, just call us back right away so we can update the officers.
Fantastic. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
And after the 911 call came to light, Ramon Cruz, of course, said he couldn't be racist because he's Asian. Thoughts
with
on
the
that?
With the last name of Cruz?
Apparently. Yeah, maybe his mom married, you know, second family. You never know.
Hey, listen, if he's Asian, then he's definitely not racist. I mean, we know that's a fact.
But here's the thing that gets to me is, you know, the 911 operator, you know, even says, you know, did any of your employees, like, talk to this individual? And he's like, no, none of us have talked to him. We just feel uncomfortable. Like, how difficult would it have been to just have an employee go up and say, I'm sorry, sir, you can't be here if you don't buy something? Or if the owner was that concerned about what was happening with his employees, just drive down to the shop and say, you know, I'm concerned.
Ron, I'm going to stop you right there.
All right.
Because as somebody who rides the New York City public transportation on a regular basis, I have been trained by society that if there's a strange person on your subway car, you don't interact with them. You look for a police officer to bring up any suspicious behavior. You don't just step in and go, hey, buddy, can you please put the crack pipe down? I'd like to talk to you and make sure you're okay. No. You just go and look for a cop.
I don't know. I think the subway system's a little bit different than a private business. And
maybe,
again, should you be calling the police to handle issues at your business that you don't feel comfortable handling?
This is America, so the answer is yes.
Apparently. Yeah. All right. Well, that's bad enough, but not our candidate this week. Some other ones we considered. Dolce & Gabbana, which I know you wear a lot of during the week. That's kind of your casual wear. I know you're very bougie like that.
It's mostly underwear. I'm not going to lie. On the outside, it's always Coach.
Okay.
You know, Gucci, uh-huh, a lot of uh-huh. Gucci. But Dolce & Gabbana, that's where I go on my the stuff that's going to touch my my skin. So undershirt, socks, boxer briefs. You know, that's where my DG clothes come in.
All right. Well, they recently had to apologize for racist comments about China. They were scheduled to have a fashion show in Shanghai, which was being promoted by short videos that were described as being stereotypical and racist. But then private messages surfaced, allegedly from Gabbana, calling Chinese people, quote, ignorant, dirty, smelling mafia, and, quote, I will say the country of poop emoji is China. The brand claimed that their Instagram account, as well as Stefano Gabbana's Instagram account, had been hacked.
Convenient.
Of course. This one came up today. Thomas Shand is a club counselor for Hilton Grand Vacations. He is now. We'll see if he keeps his job this week. He posted a picture on Facebook of Florida State University coach Willie Taggart being lynched after the team lost to rival University of Florida to finish 5-7. The administration of Florida State has come out in support of Taggart as Shand's post went viral earlier today. The Facebook post has been taken down, but lives on in screenshots online. So
yeah, that's just some bad decision making on his part. Now, I take it he was a Florida State fan.
He is a Florida State fan. Upset with the performance of the team, and I don't know if he created the meme or just saw it and posted it, but it was a black and white photo of an African American that had been lynched, you know, at some point. They put the face of Willie Taggart over it.
I'm just going to say this. It's 2018. I mean, we're all relatively woke at this point. Some others have achieved beyond wokeness. You and I, not to brag. But, I mean, it's just such poor taste to make a lynching reference, you know, especially in the South. You know, it's not what you want to do.
Right. We'll get into that again with Cindy Hyde-Smith shortly.
You could see what I was doing
there. You're getting ready to lead up there. But our candidate this week, for This Week in Racism, we're going out to Arizona. Shocking there. And at a Wildflower restaurant near Scottsdale, a Puerto Rican woman was harassed by a white woman who said that America should be all white.
Well, I have never been told that somebody prefers whites.
Yes, that would be me.
Apparently.
I prefer the whole freaking nation to be white. How about that?
That's lovely, lady.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know that's never going to happen, right?
Oh, it's going to happen. You're going to be a white guy. Trust me.
So all I was doing was asking you if you mind if I could sit in this chair right here. Out of courtesy, because you are reading papers. But you prefer white people, not me.
Definitely.
So this lady's telling me that she doesn't want me to sit next to her because I'm not white.
All right, so that was Lenny's Bermudez Molina filmed the incident and posted it to her Facebook page. We do not have an identity of the woman as of yet, but hopefully the internet will do its job and track this person down. So we will have the Arizona racist going up against the Duncan racist. He's going for win number 3. She's going for her first win. Both of them are excited about the year in racism. So, yeah, again, we have yet another racist against immigrants who, based on the accent, again, I'm going to guess is probably an immigrant herself or her family is.
But isn't that the... You know, isn't that the way to go nowadays? Is the fact that, you know, you somehow gained entry, you went through the process, and now that immigrants are being vilified, you instead of identifying as an immigrant, you identify yourself as American because you came here 20 years ago or 15 years ago or 10 years ago. And the people that are trying to come in now, well, oh, no, those people are terrible human beings and we need to shut them down and criminalize them and bastardize them. But the people that came in a couple of years ago, oh, no, we're the good ones.
Well, just, you know, it's the continuing growth of hypocrisy and hatred in our country. Quite the combination there. So, again, right. Check out the Facebook page. We will have the poll up. And again, just a reminder, Thursday at 8 p.m., live Bracketology special, Ron and Brian. Let's move on. Beef of the week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
So if I can jump in and start off with my Beef of the Week, and again... I don't want to go to this well once too often. Again, I got to go to my grocery store. I mentioned that a couple weeks
ago. What is
back.
Wrong with this grocery store?
It's driving me crazy. So when do you think the worst time during the year would be to renovate a grocery store? If you're saying to yourself,
I would say a couple of days before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right around Thanksgiving would be a horrible time to do that. So, you know, we go shopping, and I'm already anticipating that it's going to be hell because everybody's shopping to get ready for Thanksgiving. We go in the store. Aisles are torn apart. There's temporary aisles. There's, you know, barriers, there's crap everywhere, not to mention all the little customer and training carts are still out there. All the kids are still got their damn carts flying through these aisles. Absolutely insane. Giant, get your act together. Johanna, I know you're out there listening. I know you're backing me up on this one, too. We are each other's spirit animals when it comes to grocery shopping. I'm just very, very flustered at my grocery store. That's my beef. Brian, what about yourself?
Mine is Black Friday.
Really?
Yes. The fact that we have, and it's been toned down the last couple years, but the fact that our the masterminds behind our retail industry has sat there and decided that after spending, after the entire nation, and when I say the entire nation, I mean everybody but the Native Americans who are crying and mourning, but the entire nation spends Thanksgiving discussing what they are thankful for, we have created an unofficial holiday the day after, literally one day after we spend time with our families, our loved ones, and what we do is we set it up so that we have to set our alarms at 4:30 in the morning so we can get online bright and early, so that we can get in line in front of Kmarts and Walmarts throughout this country and buy $99 flat screen TVs while pushing and shoving each other. And it's become such an American tradition that now people show up for Black Friday shopping with their cell phones fully charged so they can take video of the fighting during Black Friday. I think we should ban Black Friday, have the entire day off, Saturday, regular business hours, no gigantic retail holiday where everything is ridiculously priced, just put things on sale and let's be civilized human beings for the month of December.
So you're against small business Saturday? Is that what you're saying? You'd get rid of Black Friday and the small businesses just get screwed?
I believe that small business Saturday does not need to be the day after Black Friday. Okay. I don't think they need to be linked in any way. I believe in small business Saturday. There's no reason why it has to be in 2 days after Thanksgiving.
All right, fair enough. Would you like, even though it's your beef, would you like some Black Friday trivia?
Yes, so, but please don't make it racist.
So there is a website, reviews.org, who posted some statistics prior to this year's Black Friday about the most dangerous and the safest states on Black Friday. We have the top five most dangerous states on Black Friday. Brian, would you like to guess what some of those states are?
Okay, let's go. Right. I'm going to go Mississippi.
No.
Alabama,
number five.
Texas,
not on the list.
Arizona,
not on the list.
Florida?
Surprisingly, not on the list. Well, you're really bad at this.
Well, gosh darn.
Number one most dangerous state on Black Friday?
No, you got to work your way
out. Sorry. Well, you had number five at Alabama. Number four.
So we have the top five?
I got the top five. So number five was Alabama. Number four? North Carolina. Number three, the Mountaineer State, West Virginia. Number two, Tennessee. And the number one most dangerous state on Black Friday, Arkansas leads the way with the most violent acts in the past 10 years on Black Friday. Would you like to venture a guess at any of the safest states on Black Friday?
Yes, California.
Not on the list.
New York.
Not on the list.
Man. Hawaii.
No, not on the list.
Washington.
Nope. Don't even think West Coast, really. I mean, one West Coast state.
Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire.
Vermont is actually the number one safest state on Black Friday, followed up by Oregon at number two, Rhode Island at three, us friendly folk here in Pennsylvania at number four, and coming at number five with a bullet, Wisconsin.
Ah, the cheese.
Yeah. Now, this one you have to get. What is the number one incident location on Black Friday?
Walmart.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yes,
57.1% of incidents occurred at Walmart. About 18% occur at malls. We have a three-way tie at third with Toys R Us, Target, and Best Buy. Although I have a feeling Toys R Us locations were extremely safe this Black Friday. And then coming at the bottom, Kohl's with 3.6. The number one incident type that happens on Black Friday, and you actually kind of touched on it in your beef.
Assault.
Trampling is the number one incident type at 30%, followed by shooting, car incidents, stabbing, and then a tie at fifth place with fighting and pepper spray.
Okay, see, I thought fighting would be way higher on that list.
I mean, I guess, you know, if you take trampling out of the equation, like, I think trampling is fighting in a way. I mean, I don't know how you really
split them up. To me, it is. I just think it's such a shame. I mean, it genuinely brings me sadness to sit there and watch those Black Friday videos, watching, you know, the poor retail staff who are being underpaid for, you know, having to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning so they can go staff and open up these stores for the masses, standing there, you know, opening the gates while people just run in like the running of the bulls, and watching, you know, one human being literally punching another human being so they can get a 32-inch flat screen TV instead of some. It's such a debasing of who we are as human beings that it brings me genuine sadness.
All right. Well, also should bring you some sadness is some of the incidents that happened on Black Friday this year.
There were none. What are you talking about?
In Ottawa, a 27-year-old man was shot to death in a parking lot in the South Quay Shopping Center. A man was wounded in a shooting at the Mills at Jersey Gardens in Elizabeth, New Jersey, towards the end of the day on Black Friday. Two people stabbed each other during a confrontation at the Destiny USA Mall in Syracuse. A man was shot at the Oak Court Mall in Memphis. What he did, he looked at a woman that was with another man. The other man got upset, followed him and the guy's cousin outside and shot him. But probably the one that is getting the most press is in Alabama at the River Chase Galleria in the Birmingham suburb of Hoover. Three people were shot, one fatally. The person killed, E.J. Bradford Jr., was shot by a police officer that was working security at the mall. And he was initially identified as the gunman. The police later admitted that he was not the gunman, and the gunman was still at large. So the Hoover Police Department is investigating the killing by their officer. The officer has not been identified and has been placed on administrative leave. Police believe Bradford may have been involved in some way in the dispute that led to the shooting, and he was carrying a firearm, but did not fire any of the shots.
Now, is it possible that Bradford was walking through the mall with his girlfriend, and somebody took a look and at his female friend, and he didn't appreciate it? I mean, there's no way that the police officers would enter a mall filled with Black Friday shoppers and just shoot an innocent man. I mean, that would never happen, right?
Well, EJ was a black man.
Oh.
So odds are...
Yeah, that sounds like it. That's exactly what happened.
Pretty much. So they'll be covering that up. I mean, investigating that, and we'll continue to follow that moving forward. But do the smart thing. Just wait for Cyber Monday. Shop at home. Let everything get delivered. Don't interact with the public. That's my advice.
I agree. Did you do any Black Friday shopping?
I did not. We have simplified the holiday experience in the family. On my side of the family, we do a little Secret Santa with a little cash limit, so we only have to buy from one person. On my wife's side, you know, we do some exchanging with the in-laws, but primarily we do like a Yankee swap with the rest of her family. So it's not, we don't go crazy at the holidays, so it makes it easier.
I meant for yourself. I'm of the mindset at this point in my life that I think adults buying presents for each other is silly.
I would agree with that.
Now, I think, and this is where I mean when I say it's silly, is that because of a certain date on a calendar, you're supposed to get somebody else a gift. That is what I find silly. If you come across something, or in your conversations with a family member or a friend, you decide that there is an item, a service that you would like to get for them, I think that is the best kind of gift.
I would agree with that.
However, when you sit there and say, oh, it's Christmas time, I have to get a gift for my cousin Eddie, who I don't like, but I have to get him something, I think that's where we've gone wrong, and, you know, where we've lost our way. You know, I think if you're having a conversation with your cousin Eddie and he sits there and mentions how, you know, he's always, you know, wanted the Blu-ray set of Breaking Bad and has never gotten around to getting it, but we would really, you know, it means so much to him. And you get a link from Amazon that it's on sale for $78.99. And you say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to get that for Cousin Eddie because Cousin Eddie needs to watch that series again. That's the point of a gift.
Wait, and you know, I really think that today is a gift, Brian, and that's why they call it the present.
You bastard. Why would you hit me up with that nonsense garbage? How dare you? Ron,
So what you're saying is you're not getting me anything.
No, I don't. No. Like, to me, the best gift I can give you is my company.
Well, there you go. I would agree with that.
And I think the best thing you can give me is your time, your attention. Yeah, that's the gift.
It's the love.
Yeah. Like that is hey, listen, I'm going to be in your town. Let's meet up. And one of us says, you know what? I'm getting dinner. And you're like, you know what, you bastard. All right, I'm going to get dinner next time. That's the gift. The gift is sharing each other's company. That's the gift that I think two adults can exchange with each other. I just think it's silly to sit there and say, okay, so it's December 1st and I have to buy gifts for these 25 people. I'm going to have to go to the mall. You know, maybe I'll get a sweater. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I've got bad sweaters in my lifetime that it got to a point where I just said to people, please don't get me anything. I don't want it. Don't waste your money or your time or your effort on something that is not something that I want, and it's not something I'm going to enjoy. You know, I'd rather the few times where people that do know me and know exactly the types of things that I like and want and sit there and go, hey, you know, I know you. Here's a gift. That I appreciate. And I reciprocate for others.
Well said. But back to your question at hand, I did not buy anything for myself on Black Friday. Thankfully, I really don't need anything. I have everything I want.
What about world peace?
How is that going to benefit me directly?
It's going to make your life safer.
All right. Well, I will work on that on Cyber Monday.
All righty. Have you blocked out any time at work for you to do your shopping?
Maybe a couple hours in the afternoon. You know, usually it'll be lunch. A little bit of time in the bathroom after lunch, nap nice. Time, and then Cyber Monday time.
All right, I like it. I like it. So, Ron's Monday.
You know what else is coming up this week, my friend?
What?
The special runoff for the Senate seat in Mississippi between Democratic challenger Mike Espy and Republican incumbent Cindy Hyde-Smith, who continues to prove herself to be a incredibly horrible person. Give you a little background on what's happening there if you haven't been following it.
Can you give me a moment? Can you explain to me why there's a runoff?
Because
I don't know.
That is actually point one on my sheet here. So
son of a bitch.
It was a special election for some reason, that much I can tell you. There was actually two Democratic candidates, two Republican candidates, and because of that, no one got over 50% of the vote, which is why it necessitated a runoff between the top two vote getters. So during the general election, Cindy Hyde-Smith received 41.5% of the vote versus 40.6% from Mike Espy. This was after pre-election polling showed her with anywhere from a 5 to 9 point advantage. 16.5% of the vote went to the other Republican candidate, Chris McDaniel. So a lot of people on the conservative side were blaming Chris McDaniel for not having dropped out of the race because obviously they felt had those votes gone to to Hyde Smith, she could have won. But now we'll have this runoff on November 27th. In the time since the election, Cindy Hyde Smith has made some controversial comments, such as that she would be happy to be in the front row of a public hanging if one of her constituents invited her. And she also joked about voter suppression for liberals and college students. In addition, she's had photos surface of her wearing a Confederate soldier's hat and has had previous legislation supporting the Confederacy come to the surface, such as a 2001 resolution to rename a portion of a state highway after Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy, or a 2007 resolution to honor the last living daughter of the Confederacy in Mississippi. Would you think that's bad enough, Brian?
But wait. I would say that she would have to be running in a really, in a very southern racist state for her to have the potential with all of this stacked up against her to still be considered for Congress.
But wait, there's more. Last week, the Jackson Free Press reported that Hyde Smith attended Lawrence County Academy, which was a private high school founded in 1970, so that white parents could avoid attempts to integrate schools by sending their children to schools without black students. Hyde Smith's daughter later attended Brookhaven Academy, a similar school that was founded in 1970 as well. These academies were a result of the Supreme Court ordering immediate desegregation of public schools in 1969. And based on Hyde Smith's age, her parents would have had to take her out of a public school that would have been segregated to put her into that private high school that was whites only.
Well, okay. Yeah. Gets real awkward. So real awkward.
Now that all of this has come to light, we have a number of major corporations that have started to ask her to return their donations, such as Walmart, AT&T, Pfizer, Google, Union Pacific, and Boston Scientific. She has, to this point, refused to return those donations, but did recently return a $2,700 donation to Peter Siev, a Seattle businessman whose company is now being sued for discriminating against Muslims.
Don't forget, Major League Baseball also gave her $5,000.
Correct. So not only that, Charles Johnson, co-owner of the San Francisco Giants, and his wife Amy caused an uproar amongst baseball fans a couple months back, which we reported on in This Week in Racism, when it was revealed that each of them had donated the maximum $2,700 to her campaign. And yes, you are correct that it recently came out that Major League Baseball donated $5,000 to her campaign through their PAC, although they said it was a mistake. It was some sort of event that they bought a ticket to, although I'm not exactly sure how you accidentally write somebody a $5,000 check. But Major League Baseball has also asked for their money back.
Yeah, I think that's a smart move.
And the sad thing is she will probably still win come the 27th, because it is Mississippi and it is a heavily red state. It's a state that Donald Trump won by double digits. Again, you know, I mean, just in the general election, almost 60% of the voters went for the two Republican candidates. So, you know, it will be definitely an uphill battle for Mike Espy to get the votes he needs to win there. But we will keep track on it.
Let's leave also, don't leave on the table, the fact that Donald Trump is going to be going down flying down for a rally to support this young lady.
Yes, he'll be doing two appearances tomorrow in Mississippi to try and get the vote out. He believes she is a terrific candidate.
Absolutely.
Shocking. Shocking that he would feel that way.
Not really.
Now, Brian, you're all over this this Khashoggi deal. Give us an update.
Harvey Khashoggi. I mean, it's my personal mission that this man's legacy not be forgotten. You know, we discussed it several weeks ago. Here's a poor man. He's a writer, a journalist, Saudi Arabian, living in Turkey, spending time in the United States, writer for the Washington Post, and goes into the Saudi Arabian where he's been a critic of the government. Let's be honest, but He gets called into the consulate, the Saudi Arabian consulate in Turkey's capital. He needs a form from the government, which will allow him to get divorced so he can remarry quickly. Enters the consulate, never is seen again. Turkey immediately levels claims that he was murdered in the consulate. Saudi Arabia denies it. Then, as slowly but surely, the details leak. Now it is pretty much established worldwide. Saudi Arabia has even agreed that Khashoggi was killed in the Saudi Arabian consulate. They have not discussed what happened to his body. It is believed that he was dismembered in the consulate, that his body was drained of blood and then cut up. The point is, this past week, the CIA issued a report which said that not only was the Saudi government complicit in this murder, that this was not some accident, but something that had been organized and had been requested and ordered at the highest level in the Saudi Arabian government, which currently is Mohammed bin Salman, who is a prince, but is pretty much the acting head of the royal family there. But the shocker of it all is that the president of the United States has pretty much made it very clear that he does not care what is going on, does not care whether Saudi Arabia did intentionally murder this journalist or not. Basically has said that it's possible that bin Salman was involved. It's possible that he wasn't. Nobody will ever be sure. And ultimately, Saudi Arabia is a great ally of ours. And no matter what happens, that needs to continue.
Certainly has been a great ally of the Trump family over the years, as Donald Trump has mentioned, spending millions and millions of dollars on buildings and apartments.
But we don't know exactly how much, because he won't share his tax return.
True.
Because they're so complicated that, you know, somebody like you would have no understanding of it.
I wouldn't know how to read something like that.
Now, here's where I'm going to go and maybe go a little bit off where you're thinking.
Are you going rogue on me?
I'm going to go rogue right now. It's the fact that I think that Donald Trump is just being more obvious than politicians in the past. I think that the Saudi Arabians have had us in their pocket for decades, and he's just basically the first president. Well, maybe George W. did it as poorly, but I think Trump is just making no effort to pretend that there's anything that would come between the relationship we have with the Saudis based on any type of actions that they take. You look back on 9/11. A large majority of the terrorists were not from Afghanistan, were not from Iraq, were not from Iran, but they were Saudi Arabians. And while we were telling all the airplanes that were in the air to land immediately, stay out of the air, we allowed the Saudis to pack up. We don't even know who were in those flights, but the Saudi Arabian friends of the royal family were allowed to get in planes right after 9/11 and leave the country. We don't know if terrorists or organizers of terrorism were part of that. There's a whole section of the 9/11 Commission report that has been blacked out for national security reasons that specifically deal with Saudi Arabia and their responsibility, or we don't even know what it's about, but we do know it's about Saudi Arabia. And because we don't want to have anything interfere with our relationship with them, that, you know, there's no light can be spread on there. So I'm not even sure that it's so outrageous what he's doing. It's almost refreshing how he won't even play the game that, you know, he may hold them accountable for something, because clearly American politicians don't.
But do you think, I get what you're saying and I agree with it, but don't you think it's, you know, what hurts again is his dismissing of the reports from his own intelligence community? Like, it'd be one thing if he was like, all right, maybe he was involved, but I don't really care, versus, you know, him basically dismissing, you know, reports that his own intelligence people are giving him.
I think he's not playing the game.
Okay.
Whereas I think that had something like this happened under Obama, I think Obama would have gotten up there and done a much better job giving speeches about his concern and whatnot. But in a, I don't actually think anything would have actually would have been done. I think that as a we are so afraid of pissing off the Saudi government. I think that, you know, it has been determined that we are depending on them so heavily in our unspoken war against Iran, and to make sure that Iran does not get too much power in that area, that we need a strong Saudi government to offset the Iranians, that I don't know that any U.S. politician under any of these recent administrations would have done anything against Saudi Arabia had, you know, the murder of Khashoggi happened under their watch. So in this one instance, I think I got to go with Donald J. on this one.
Are you saying we're just a heartless, soulless nation at this point?
Pretty much.
All right.
Pretty much.
Where it comes to oil, perhaps?
I don't even know it's about oil anymore.
It's just about total finance, just total cash flow?
I think so.
All right. Well, that was very up with people. Let's move on before you depress me some more. This is an up with people story. So, you know, not that I'm a fan of religion, but I have to admit, you know, I respect some of these folks that will travel around the world trying to bring joy, trying to bring
the word of the Lord
to people out there.
Very important.
And so this next story is about one of these individuals, John Amen. Allen Chow, who decided to spread the word of God to one of the few remaining uncontacted tribes on the planet, the Sentinelese, who live on the remote Andaman Islands off the coast of India. And how do you think that went, Brian? Do you think we have a Disney movie coming here because it was such a touching story?
I believe we do. I believe that he was welcomed with open arms. I think that he was able to interact with the natives of this island and was able to show them some great things. I think he showed them how to play basketball. I believe that his girlfriend taught them how to use Tupperware to save crops during the rainy season. I think they were embraced by the locals. Tell me, how close am I?
First, I feel like you might be thinking of the movie Airplane, the classic comedy from 1981, for those younger viewers out there. He got a few arrows for his troubles, and he is now dead, which is why there are laws preventing people from visiting this particular tribe. He was able to bribe some local fishermen to bring him in. The fishermen have since been arrested and will be facing charges. You want to know what the most interesting thing about this story to me is? Well, there's a number of interesting parts of it. But I think the number one thing is the fact that the day that he was killed was not the first time this tribe had shot arrows at him.
Whoa. What do you mean?
What I mean is that he had actually visited the tribe previously. He brought them gifts, including fish and a football. Not sure why you would bring a football to a tribe that has literally never seen a football. And what he received in return for his gifts was a warning shot of an arrow that went straight into the Bible he was holding to his chest. So they fired an arrow at him once, and the only thing that saved him was the fact that it hit the Bible that he was holding. So he felt that it was a good idea to go back and try and talk to these folks again.
If you're a missionary and you believe that your job on this earth is to spread the Christian gospel, and you find yourself in a situation where your life is being threatened, and your Bible saves your life, I believe that you're going to go back and see that as a sign that God is backing you in what you're doing, and you're going to keep giving it another shot.
I don't know. I would thank my Lord above, literally, and say, all right, I got one. Everybody gets one chance. I should really go back home because I got extremely lucky this time.
You think that he only gets one shot and that was his chance to blow?
Yeah, that's right.
His opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
And I think what also worked against him was the fact that he really did not research the history of this tribe. You know, he even wrote in his journal, he was wondering, you know, why they were so defensive and so hostile. And, you know, the reason for that is in the late 19th century, there was a European invader, Maurice Vidal Portman, who showed up, kidnapped some children, some of the elderly, and basically took them away and showed them off as, like, you know, circus acts that he brought from the far continents and everything. He also brought, you know, there was also a number of Sentinelese that died from diseases that, you know, the white man brought that, you know, they were not able to, you know, they didn't have immunity to. So,
like smallpox?
Smallpox and
I mean,
whatever.
it is our post-Thanksgiving Day podcast, so it's kind of fitting for us to throw in the smallpox reference.
So obviously that story, you know, sticks with them, and obviously this guy didn't know it, and he got quite a few arrows for his trouble. So his family has actually forgiven the Sentinelese and are just trying to hopefully get his body back so that they can give him a proper burial.
Well, what I heard was that the church that he belongs to actually were seeking for the townspeople to be tried for murder.
They were actually looking for them to be brought to justice. However, based on current Indian law, you know, they had every right to handle the situation the way that they did. So I don't know if that's going to be the case. And apparently also ate a lot of what's called perky jerky, if you go on his Instagram.
No. What is perky jerky?
Perky jerky is a brand of beef jerky, apparently, that he ate a lot of. So if you go to his Instagram page, people were wondering if maybe he was a sponsor of perky jerky.
Well, I would say that he was a member of the International Christian Concern.
Well, he was, yes.
And I don't know that they are particularly appreciative of the perky jerky, because I think, you know, having survived the Kavanaugh Supreme Court hearings, I think we all now know what a perky jerky is, and it does not really fit within his Christian values.
I think a perky jerky is what you do when you lead up to a devil's triangle.
Of course. I like absolutely.
Beer. I liked beer.
So
did you like, okay, now Miss Judge Kavanaugh, if confronted with a perky jerky or a beer and you had to pick one because you liked it the most, what would you pick? Which one did you like more?
What a stupid question that is. What a stupid question.
I liked beer.
Wow, you got a twofer on that one.
I love it. Usually I have to pay extra for that one.
Hey-o. So anyway, moral of the story is, don't go hunting down remote tribes that don't want to be found, because you'll probably get killed for it.
Yeah, I would say so.
But you know what you should do? You should mark off Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on your calendar for another Facebook Live with Ron and Brian for our Bracketology special. We will be having long meetings with the committee day in, day out. Like Brian said, everything's on the table.
Wait a second. Are we going to be meeting with them, or are they meeting right now and then we will just be announcing what their picks are?
They are meeting right now. We have some meetings scheduled with them to discuss some of their early findings. You know, obviously there's some discussions about the brackets, the regions, the names for the region. I mean, there's so much that's going into this first year that it's more than just the seeding. It's a lot to get set up. We've got some endorsement deals. Now I've heard that Perky Jerky has an opening for a sponsor. Maybe they want to get behind this. We'll put some feelers out.
I'm planning on going to bed in a half an hour, and I believe a Perky Jerky will be taking place.
So all right.
I'm not sure that they want to be a sponsor of tonight's episode. I'm really looking forward to the bracket announcement. I mean, I think that there's so much that can take place here. I think that as with life, there's going to be some winners. There's going to be some losers. There are some races that are on the bubble. Will they make it through? Will they be able to? And this is the first time that we've done a races bracketology. So, you know, I want to say that rules will be broken, but rules haven't even been made. You know, rules will be created in the next 5 days. This Thursday, it's going to be an earth-shattering moment.
And I just want to point out to those racists that are on the bubble, additional racist acts at this point will not put you over the top. So don't.
No, we will not. We will not consider
even more racist, thinking that it will help you out. If anything, it may hurt you. You know, it may make you look a little cheap and petty in the eyes of the committee. But
I can guarantee you that any attempts now at an intentional racism will be rejected by the committee.
People will see right through that. No question about it. So I think I'm excited. Yeah, I think we've said a lot tonight. We've done a lot. We're all thankful. I think I'm very thankful.
I'm thankful for you.
I'm more thankful for you, my friend. And I think maybe we wrap this up. We call it a day. Thank everyone out there for listening. Again, check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Throw us your ideas for This Week in Racism. If you haven't subscribed yet on iTunes, please do. And I would just ask you ask a friend or two, subscribe or hack into their iTunes and subscribe for them. They won't mind. And then, review, rate, let us know how we're doing. We want to know how we're doing. We want to make this show for the people. All right.
All right, sir.
All right, sir. We will see you on Thursday night. Have a good week, everybody.
I love the way that sounds.
All right. Loving it, too. Oh, and it's the second best song out there right now.
Wiki, 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 wiki.
Moo.
That's a stupid question. I like beer.
I like beer.
You're not corny.
0.0.
What a stupid question that is. What a stupid question.
0.0.